Not a normal reaction. It's got to be about something deeper. Maybe connected to the demons that wake him up yelling in the middle of the night. How? I have no clue. Because he doesn't talk to me. And he won't let you touch him. I wrap my arms over my abdomen, feeling cold in spite of the warmth of the shower spray. I might be having a child with this man, but how well do I really know him? So much has changed since I've come here. I have changed so much. And I like the person I'm becoming, even if I don't fully understand all the ramifications of who that person is yet. I feel as strong as ever, yet not as hard, if that makes any sense. But can this really work for the long term if he won't fully share himself?
Are you all right?
Xavier's brows knit in concern, and he steps closer, covered in suds from his intense washdown. He reaches out a hand to my upper arm. His touch is warm, and I can't help but lean into it. Because as screwed up and emotionally unavailable as he might be, it's too late. I've fallen for him. Hard. I'm okay. Here. I step out of the spray and make way for him. Wash off. He stares at me uncertainly for another moment, scrutinizing my face, but then acquiesces and begins to wash off the suds. He washed his hair before I came in, so it's just a matter of quickly rinsing off, and then we're out of the shower and he's toweling us down. Once he's got me dressed in a thick terry cloth robe, he lies on the bed beside me, brushing my hair back from my face. He said I should take one of the pharmacy pregnancy tests he's apparently stocked up on. In spite of all his assurances of their accuracy, though, I'd rather just wait for the doctor. If they say negative or positive, I'll still be freaking out that I'm miscarrying based on the results. I can't handle that shit right now. So instead, we're just lying in bed with each other as we wait for the obstetrician. Xavier didn't bother shaving, and I have to say, I sort of like the 5 days scruff that's almost a full beard on him. Makes him look dark and dangerous. Though it also highlights the burned streaks on the left side of his cheek where the hair won't grow in. I imagine if the beard had more time to fill out, it might eventually hide them. We've spent the last few minutes not talking. He's just been lying there, staring at me. With anyone else, I imagine such a silence would feel supremely uncomfortable. With him, though, I just feel comforted and not alone. He doesn't shy away from me looking at him, and I rarely get a chance to examine him up close like this. His face is wide and broad like a boxer's, but his wide mouth that stretches his whole face and deep brow balance it out. When he smiles, it's dazzling, and when he's pensive, like now, you still can't help but stare at his lips. But I chance looking into his blue, crystalline eyes. "Will you tell me what happened?" He immediately glances away. "Please, don't I have a right to know?" His mouth tenses into a line, and maybe that was a low blow, but at the same time, I feel like it's true. I do have a goddamn right. I might be the mother of his freaking child. He just put me through hell for the past 4 days, and I need for him to start opening up to me. He's quiet for so long, I think he's not going to answer me. But then, finally, with a hard swallow that makes his Adam's apple bob up and down, he starts speaking.
"I was in the army, a lieutenant stationed at a detention facility at Bagram Air Base."
I'm only partially surprised he's not bringing up Hellfire. Deep down, I knew this was about so much more than a favored horse. He stares at the ceiling while he talks, and each word seems like a struggle to get out. He has to take a deep breath before finishing.
"Men under my command made a mistake that cost a lot of people their lives. It was something I could have prevented if I'd prepared them better."
What he doesn't say is clear on his face. He blames himself for the deaths of those people, whoever they were. I hesitate before asking my next question, but I don't know when he'll be willing to talk so openly again. Is that when... I reach toward his face, but withdraw my hand before he can push it away. "Is that when you got hurt?" He nods. I wait for him to give me anything more. He takes another deep breath and opens his mouth.
But just then, the doorbell rings.
He jumps to his feet like his ass is spring-loaded.
"That'll be the doctor. He's out the door before I can so much as blink." "Damn it."
I sigh, sitting up. "Well, I mean, I'm relieved the doctor's here, but God knows how long he'll clam up now." It's only a minute later before Xavier is back, literally dragging the poor doctor into the room by her wrist. It's the same woman as before. She looks both harassed and scared, eyes locked on Xavier's hulking frame. Xavier! I snap at him. He looks down at me. In his other hand, he's carrying a heavy, black, hard-covered suitcase that I imagine is some sort of equipment the doctor brought with her. He sets it down, but still has hold of the doc. Let her go. You're freaking her out. She's here to help us, and it'd be nice if she's not peeing her pants. Xavier lets go of her, and the doctor looks at me, eyes wide with surprise. As tense as I am about my situation, I can't help but be amused by the way she's looking between me and Xavier. Yeah, I shrug. Things have changed a little since you last saw me. Let's get the show on the road. Do I need to pee in a cup or something? She nods, swinging a black bag off her shoulder. Her hands are shaking. I glare at Xavier, but he looks unrepentant.
Can I set this up?
He asks, fidgeting with the latches on the hard suitcase.
Don't touch that, the doctor says.
Then her eyes widen, and she quickly adds, please. I roll my eyes. Xavier, if you can't stop scaring the nice lady, I'm going to send you to the other room. He levels me with a stare.
Try.
I smile sweetly at him. The doctor glances back and forth between us, then shoves a little plastic pee cup in my hand.
If you can just deposit your specimen into this, please, we can get some initial information. I brought the transvaginal ultrasound, but we'll only do that if there seem to be any problems.
Oh, goody, I deadpan. I take the pee cup and head to the bathroom. Come with me, sweetie pie, I call to Xavier. Let's let the nice doctor set up her machine without you freaking her the hell out and making her accidentally break something important.
Xavier glares at her. She better not.
Oh, my God. I get off the bed and grab his bulky upper arm, dragging him to the bathroom with me. I drank two glasses of water after the shower in anticipation. Turn around, I say to Xavier once he shuts the door. He stares at me with an intensity that seems unwarranted for being about to pee into a cup.
You're so goddamned feisty. If I weren't so worried about you, I'd be fucking you into next week.
I grin at him. I can't believe he can still make my stomach flip even right now. I twirl my finger at him, mock glaring. He gives me another hard stare, but finally turns his face to the door. After a few tries, I manage to pee into the cup. Xavier is immediately there with a towel to take it from me and hurry it out to the doctor while I wash my hands. After I do, I splash some water on my face. Holy shit! How long does it take before we have a positive or negative? Will the doctor have to send it off to a lab? I walk back out to the other room. I'm surprised when I see my cup sitting on the nightstand with two little plastic sticks that look very similar to the ones from the store sitting beside the cup. The doctor has gloves on, and she's looking at her phone. Xavier's head is also bent, looking at the phone. What is it? I come closer and see that it's a timer. So it really is just like the at-home tests. I'll be damned. I stare at the timer with the same silent intensity. 2 minutes and 12 seconds left. 11. 10. Commence with the slowest 2 minutes of my life. At the end of which, the doctor checks the sticks only to look up at us and announce, Congratulations, you're going to be parents. Chapter 17. It's another 3 weeks before we can hear the heartbeat. Xavier's called Dr. Winthrop about 50 times in the interim with all sorts of ridiculous questions. Should I be eating a special diet? How limited should my activities be? Should I, in fact, be on bed rest? That question came after a knockdown, drag-out fight between us when he tried to keep me in bed for 2 days straight after she left the first time. Xavier had shown her the little bit of blood in my underwear, and she calmly explained that light spotting happened in 20-40% of first trimester pregnancies and that, with such a small amount, it was nothing to be worried about. It most likely meant the fertilized egg was implanting in the uterine wall. Xavier wasn't impressed with most likely. He wanted her to do the ultrasound, but she stood her ground and said she could, but it wouldn't show much at this early stage, and the wand might irritate the cervix and cause more bleeding. That shut him up. Instead, she just did a physical exam with her hands and determined that everything looked perfectly normal. That didn't stop Xavier from going crazy commando about my health right after she left and all but chaining me to the bed. When he found me wandering the resort looking for good books, he ordered me straight back to bed. The first day I didn't mind. I'd been working my ass off for a week. A day of R&R being pampered, resting in bed and reading? Sign me up. But it turns out that over the past 2 months, I've gotten accustomed to being active. I only lasted half a day before I suited up and joined Xavier out in the stables. Or rather, I tried to join Xavier. He scooped me up and trotted me right back to bed. Annoying, stubborn mule of a man. He turned the goddamn cameras back on me and threw a shit fit if I got out of bed for more than a 5-minute bathroom session. Yeah, that lasted a whole half day more before I'd wait until he got back out to the stable before getting up to go downstairs. He'd see me on the camera and come to drag me upstairs. Then he'd go out to the horses again and repeat. Until finally a nice shouting match ensued, and I finally got him to call the doctor and ask her opinion. And ha! She said that regular activity was important at this stage in my pregnancy, as long as it wasn't too strenuous, so no more lifting huge feed bags. Naturally, Xavier wasn't going to let me even carry water buckets or muck stalls. Basically, I was relegated to grooming duties. Okay, so I couldn't say I minded about not having to muck the stalls anymore. Plus, Xavier suddenly thought I needed all the sleep I could get. So now I get to sleep in past sunrise. Miracle of miracles. I feel lazy watching him doing all the hard work, while I just basically hang out with Sugar and Hot Lips in the pasture, or spend long hours watching him continue his training with Samson, which no longer seems boring. I know, it shocked the hell out of me too, but I keep wandering over to the front training paddock. The transformation of Samson is truly an amazing thing to behold. Over the past few days, Xavier has taken to tying a dark handkerchief over Samson's eyes. His eyes. The horse is blinded by the handkerchief, but he still confidently follows Xavier's lead, even when Xavier leads him out of the paddock and out into the unfamiliar field beyond. Naturally, Xavier makes me go back to the stable and watch from afar for this part, but still, even as I squint, I can see that the horse never makes a misstep or falters under Xavier's confident leadership. Which makes me wonder more and more about the small tidbit of information he gave me the day we found out about the pregnancy.
Men under my command made a mistake that cost a lot of people their lives.
I've been dying to ask him more about it. But with as tense as he's been about the pregnancy, I can never seem to find a good time to bring it up. The only time he relaxes is with the horses. Even at night, with his arm wrapped protectively around my stomach, he seems to radiate tension. Twice I've had to wake him from nightmares. Both times I asked him if he wanted to talk about it. He simply grabbed me close and closed his eyes again, murmuring about me needing sleep. The truth is, we're both trying to act like everything's all right, but I know we're each nervous about the doctor's visit. Sometimes over the past few weeks, I've caught Xavier pensive, face dark, as he stares out across the pastures. It scares me how far away he seems, lost in some dark place. Whenever I call his name or get his attention, he pretends like everything's fine and he wasn't just a million miles away. I'm glad when Dr. Winthrop arrives an hour earlier than expected, right after I manage to get down a few bites of toast, a feat for me. Morning sickness has just started being a bitch the last week. One morning I sat up in bed and immediately had to run to the toilet. Apparently, it's better if you eat a couple of saltines before you even sit up. We've been trying that. I still feel like throwing up whatever I ate the night before, but sometimes I can manage to keep it down. And calling it morning sickness is a total joke. It's all-day sickness. I feel awful all the time. I guess it does ease up a little bit at night, which means Xavier tries to stuff me full of all the food he can manage to get down my gullet, because he's constantly worried about me and the baby not getting enough nutrition. Explaining to him that the baby is the size of a pea doesn't seem to matter. Xavier sets down the piece of toast he's feeding me when the doorbell rings. He's taken to feeding me my breakfast in bed each morning. He figures if a few crackers can help settle my stomach, why not just keep me in bed for the whole meal? And glaring at me when I only manage the few bites I can choke down. His constant refrain is,
"Just one bite of the eggs? Not even for our son or daughter?"
Guilt trips are his new favorite manipulation tactic, and he uses them relentlessly to get his way. If I thought being pregnant would earn me some leniency from his controlling tendencies, ha. No, it's just won me Xavier 2.0. He loves barking orders at me, and while I still get the nice long showers at night, there are no longer any of the perks. Just a quick wash and off to bed now. It's starting to get insufferable. Sometimes I wonder if I matter to him at all anymore, or if I was always just a vehicle to get him what he really wanted, a kid to carry on his name and his genes. Part of me thinks, duh, that's obviously all he wants. It's the only reason he brought you here. But another, maybe deluded, part objects. No, we've built something. There really is an us. He constantly refers to the baby as our son or daughter, not just the baby. Surely that means he envisions me in the picture, right? Right? Because even though I swore I never wanted to be a mother, now that it's a reality, I can't imagine anything different. Me, Xavier, this baby, our baby, and the little family I keep envisioning every time I close my eyes. But what if I'm deluding myself? Fear about it all is almost enough to keep me up at night, except I'm constantly exhausted, so I always drop off as soon as my head hits the pillow. Dr. Winthrop knocks briefly on the door and then steps through. She has the large, hard-backed black suitcase with her again, and today she immediately sets it on the bed and opens it. Oh, the whole thing is a machine. A portable ultrasound machine, I imagine. The top half of the case holds a monitor, and the bottom a keyboard and what I assume is the rest of the machine, along with a wand attached by a long wire that the doctor begins to uncoil. She looks up at Xavier as she pulls out a cord from the other side. Do you have somewhere I might plug in? Xavier hurries to drag the cord to a plug near the bed, and soon the machine is beeping to life, and the doc is sticking what looks like a condom over the wand, and then up my hoo-ha it goes. She pokes it this way, then that way. Then, holy shit, is that... A swift, steady, wee-oo, wee-oo, wee-oo sound fills the bedroom. My hand shoots out to the side, where Xavier's sturdy fingers grasp mine.
Wee-oo, 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 wee-oo.
That's a strong, steady heartbeat, Dr. Winthrop announces, smiling as she looks between me and Xavier. I expel a relieved breath and then look up at Xavier. His eyes are glued to the screen, where the doctor goes on to point out a small circle she says is a gestational sac and a little dot that's apparently our baby. Since you're so regular, she smiles at me like it's a personal accomplishment, we can confidently say you're 7 weeks along.
7 weeks? Holy shit! Holy shit! Holy shit!
Xavier's hand squeezes around mine, and I wonder if he's having the same internal reaction. Like, yeah, I've been thinking, okay, obsessing, about the fact that we're having a freaking baby, but it's still been a kind of esoteric idea. All of a sudden, it feels real. Like, holy shit, this is actually happening. To me. I'm going to be a mom, and Xavier a dad, and holy shit! I look at Xavier again with what probably looks like an insane Joker's grin from the mix of excitement and terror running through my veins. He's looking at me this time, and I have to swallow hard at what I see. There's a sheen over his eyes that he doesn't bother blinking away. Instead, he pulls me close and crushes me to his chest. He kisses the top of my head.
Precious,
he whispers, barely loud enough for me to hear.
Oh my God, we're having a baby. I've never wanted anything more in my entire life.
Which means I'm not like my mother at all. I do have the capacity to love this baby. I can do everything differently. Except, I have no idea what the hell I'm doing. I pull out of Xavier's grasp and turn to Dr. Winthrop. Okay, so tell me everything I need to know. What are the do's and don'ts? What do I need to do so I don't fuck up this kid while he or she is still inside me? If she hears the sudden panic in my voice, she doesn't let on. She just ticks things off in a calm voice. No high, strenuous physical activities. No running or jogging, unless that's already part of your normal routine. She pauses, and I nod along.
No high-impact aerobics.
Xavier takes up where the doctor left off, listing them off on his fingers. He's obviously already memorized this stuff.
No saunas or hot tubs. Anything above 102 degrees can be unsafe.
No wonder he switched us to showers lately. God, he could have just told me. But still, the fact that he's already studied up on all this stuff kind of makes me want to jump him right here. Speaking of, I look back to the doctor. What about sex? She pauses in discarding the wand condom and looks up at me, mouth dropping open slightly, before she closes it and resumes her professional manner. What about it? When can I have it again? Oh, she looks surprised. There's no reason for you to have stopped. Her gaze shoots briefly back and forth between Xavier and me. Relations. Your cervix might be a little tender during your first trimester, and there might be light spotting. But you're perfectly healthy. It won't cause any risk to the baby. My mouth drops open, and I swing my head around to look accusingly at Xavier.
I thought she said we couldn't.
His mouth is a flat line.
I never said that. I just didn't think it was a good idea, considering.
I'll be heading out now, Dr. Winthrop says, probably wisely, as she sees the daggers I'm shooting Xavier's way. She wants to get out before the hormonal pregnant woman loses it on the baby daddy. What to expect when you're expecting, or other books like it, are a good resource to answer your questions, and of course, my line is always open to you. She closes up her machine, then takes it and her bag, and makes a quick exit. I'm left glaring at Xavier.
You've been denying me for no reason at all? Not even any orgasms? I thought she'd told you the muscle spasms would be bad for the baby or something.
Maybe it sounds dumb now that I say it out loud, but I haven't had access to Google. I chuck a pillow at his head, but he deftly dodges out of the way.
Ugh, annoying, quick-reflexed bastard.
I throw another one, but I'm quickly out of ammo.
The doctor says you shouldn't engage in strenuous activity.
He has the gall to respond.
You heard her. She said aerobics and hardcore jogging. She probably meant weightlifting and stuff like that. Besides, she specifically just said sex was safe.
He heaves out a heavy breath.
Well, there are other things that aren't.
I throw up my hands.
Like?
He steps forward until he leans over me where I sit in the middle of the bed.
No contact sports and no horse riding.
I'm about to object to the last one when he silences me.
Even the most experienced rider can take a tumble. I will not take the risk with you and our child.
Well, that shuts me up. Me and our child. So, am I not the only one picturing Daddy and Baby and Me Makes Three? It's been a big enough hurdle getting accustomed to the idea that I actually want to be a mother. I haven't wavered since the initial realization. That's not how I work. I'm not sure if it's a strength or a weakness, but once I commit to a course of action, I'm in it, come hell or high water. So, me and this motherhood thing? I might have never changed a single diaper in my life or have any clue what the hell I'm doing. But this kid is mine. Thing is, that wasn't part of the contract. Neither was falling for Xavier. I want them both. Life has proven a tricky bitch when it comes to giving me what I want, though.
What happens after the baby is born?
I ask, moving to the edge of the bed.
I need my feet on solid ground for this. My need to know suddenly outweighs my fear of his answer.
Are you still planning to ship me back to New York and keep our baby for yourself? My arms cross over my stomach protectively, and I lift my chin. Because you can go to hell if that's what you think. I don't care about the stupid contract I signed. There it is, my line in the sand. I'm not sure if I'm saying that when push comes to shove, I choose our baby over him, but I do know there's no goddamned way he's pushing me out of this child's life. Xavier's face goes hard and his blue eyes icy as he stands above me beside the bed.
I will chase you and our child to the ends of the earth if you ever try to leave me.
What? That wasn't even...
He lifts me by the armpits onto the bed and then drops on top of me, covering my body with his own. His eyes are still dangerous. He hovers several inches over me, but it's no less intimidating.
If you ever so much as think of leaving me, I'll tie you to this bed. You'll think those couple days in the dog kennel were a walk in the park compared to the chains I'll lock on you while your belly gets fat with my son or daughter.
Just while I'm pregnant? Can't better let your precious cargo out of your sight, huh?
I struggle underneath the slight pressure of his weight that he uses to hold me down with, and he grabs my wrists, pinning them to either side of my head. I scream in frustration, then spit out.
Was I ever anything more to you than a goddamn walking incubator?
I squeeze my eyes shut and turn my head away after my outburst, knowing I've revealed too much, exposed my raw insides. When I feel his large fingers underneath my chin, I resist his pulling my head back toward him. Naturally, I lose the struggle and finally give in.
Look at me,
he orders. I keep my eyes stubbornly shut.
Look at me.
He gives my chin a firm shake. God damn him, I know he won't give up until I do as Master commands. So I open my eyes, flashing them furiously. Anger is my best shield at the moment. I expect to see him looking just as hard and angry. What I'm not prepared for is the softness that takes over his features, or the way his eyes flick back and forth between mine, like he's searching for something.
I never saw you like that.
He speaks the words softly.
I've been training you because I wanted you to stay, for you to choose to stay.
The blue of his irises has never seemed more vibrant.
So I could keep you.
Does that mean? I blink. I'm not sure if he means training me like training me to work with horses, or training me like he trains the horses. So I could keep you. In the end, it doesn't matter which way he meant it. I'm in far too deep.
I love you,
I blurt. His eyes widen, and then he crushes his lips down on mine.
I feel like I could fly. I feel like...
He rolls on the bed so that I'm on top of him. His hands roam down my body.
I feel like... Gotta throw up!
I yelp and shove away from him.
Shit,
he mutters, but immediately moves into action, jumping off the bed and helping me to the toilet. After he's held my hair back and I've lost the little bit of toast from earlier, I'm laughing and crying as I hunch over the freshly flushed toilet bowl. Consider this no reflection on my feelings. I really do love you. He wraps one arm around my waist and drops his forehead to the small of my back, hugging me tightly. His deep chuckle echoes around the bathroom. Chapter 18. And now to complete the tour, here's the stable, I say into the camera phone, on Skype with my dad. I'm careful to keep the camera trained on my face rather than putting it somewhere stationary. Halfway through the second trimester, I'm clearly showing. I don't think Dad's quite ready for that bombshell yet. Dad looks skeptical on the other end. This is only the second call we've done like this, and no matter how many times I assure him that I'm well, healthy and happy, I know he's worried that Xavier's right off camera, like pointing a gun at me to get me to say these things. I think only time will convince him I actually mean what I'm saying. The stable is much darker than the brighter summer day outside, but the camera adjusts, and I take Dad around the stable. I introduce him to the horses and stop in front of Hot Lips' stall. Now I'm going to groom Hot Lips. She's pregnant and about to pop. We keep her in here where it's cool, and she's got plenty of access to food and water.
Enough about the horses, Dad says shortly.
He leans forward into the screen and whispers,
Is he around?
I rub a hand down Hot Lips' mane and sigh. No, Daddy, he's not. But it wouldn't make a difference even if he was. I told you, I'm not a captive here. It's not like that. I'm perfectly safe. I can come and go as I please. I'm not exactly sure if that's true, but I think it is. It brings up a good point, though. I should ask Xavier for the car so I can go and visit Tom's wife. I think we've reached that stage of trust, and if we haven't, well, that's a big problem I'd rather face now rather than later. Dad, I'm happy. Really happy. I grin, thinking of the string of wonderful days Xavier and I have been sharing lately. By the middle of the second trimester, the nausea is much better, thank God. Dealing with the urge to throw up was bad enough, but Xavier's constant paranoia about me not gaining enough weight and obsessing about every morsel of food that did or did not go into my mouth? Yeah, that might have driven me right to the very edge of insanity. And it's hard to have much of a libido when you feel like hurling every other second. But the blessed second trimester. Something no one ever told me about pregnancy. Well, it's not like I ever had any pregnant friends or anything, working my way up the corporate ladder in a mostly man's world. But anyway, it makes you horny as hell. I'm not even kidding. It hits somewhere around the second month of the second trimester. The morning, all-day sickness is finally mostly gone, and then boom. All I can think about all the time is getting Xavier naked.
Oh my God, Dad whispers. You're in love with him.
I jerk my attention back to the small screen in my palm. He looks stunned and worried, but I don't look away. I just meet his gaze and nod. I am Dad, and he's worth it. I wish you could meet him. He's a good, honorable man. Dad swallows and rakes a hand through his hair that's graying just at the edges. He's gotten very tan over the past months, and he looks more fit as well.
Earlier he told me he does a lot of swimming, and his diet consists of fish, much of which he catches himself, and lots of fresh vegetables. I don't know what to think, baby. I mean, there's this man, and horses? I feel my expression soften, and I laugh. I know, none of this is what I could have ever expected for myself either, but I'm happy. Please be happy for me too, Dad. He hesitates, eyes still wary, but finally he nods. My phone beeps, and I see the battery sign flashing in the corner. I'm about to run out of battery, Dad. Love you, and talk to you soon.
You better, he warns. Love you, honey.
Love you too. I blow him a kiss, and then hang up, slipping the phone back in my pocket. God, I love that Dad and I are back in contact again, and I know he's not as worried about me anymore. Just another of the compromises Xavier's been willing to make lately in order to see to my happiness. I give a good, long stretch, loosening my lower back muscles, then get to grooming hot lips. It's early evening, and I like to give her a lot of attention these days. I feel bonded with her since she's so big with her foal. I can only imagine how hot and uncomfortable she's got to be just a few weeks away from giving birth. She's comfortable with me, and I like to take her out to the side paddock to walk her in circles so she can get some low-impact exercise each day. Well, so both of us can. One of my compromises? I do very little strenuous work around here now. That feels good, doesn't it, girl? I ask after finishing with the curry comb. I'm about to reach for her hard brush when I see Xavier walk into the stable. My mouth immediately goes dry. At the same time, my sex starts pulsing so hard between my legs I have to twist them together. I mentioned the horny as hell thing, right? He's sweaty, and he pulls his button-up work shirt off, revealing a sweat-drenched tank top underneath. I remember the day he teased my clitoris with a soft grooming brush and all but moan where I stand. We've had sex since the doctor told us it was safe, but with my wicked morning sickness that seemed to last forever, the occasions have still been too few and far between for my liking. That's it. No more. He's sweaty, I'm wet, and like the horses, this is a lady who's ready to be ridden hard. I swing Hot Lips' stall door closed, hang up her brush, and then stalk towards Xavier, unbuttoning my own shirt and flinging it to the ground in a move that's probably over the top. By the widening of his eyes, though, I'd say I'm getting my point across. I'm wearing a camisole underneath, and I don't hesitate in whipping it over my head as well. In almost the same motion, I unsnap my bra, and then I'm standing before him in nothing but my Wranglers and boots. My nipples quickly pebble to hard points under his gaze. It's when his gaze drops lower to my rounded stomach that his eyes really flare, though. That's a development as of a couple weeks ago. I was embarrassed at first, but then kind of struck with awe. The peanut's big enough that he started to make my belly stick out. Okay, according to the baby site Xavier and I now check religiously each week, at 5 months, he or she is now the size of an eggplant. His or her brain function and hearing are developing this week, so the kiddo can start recognizing the sound of our voices. Cue Xavier talking and singing non-stop to my stomach. Which, yes, is freaking adorable. He has a really good singing voice, too. The things I'm learning about this man. On my first day here, could I have ever imagined the scary Hulk on his knees, cradling my stomach to his lips and crooning Hozier and Decemberist lyrics to my belly? No. Except right now, I'm hoping he's not thinking about our sweet little eggplant. When his hand reaches out, it's not my stomach he touches. But he doesn't go for my breasts, either. No, he grabs my hips, just long enough to twirl me toward the wall. Over, his rough voice commands, pushing my back down. I bend over and grab onto the edge of the sink basin for balance. Xavier rips my jeans down my legs. Are you wet? He growls out. Yes, I rasp. There's no foreplay or preamble. His cock shoves right in.
Oh, God, yes!
I scream, pounding a hand on the sink. I don't care if I scare the horses. This is what I've been needing. He's been so goddamned careful with me the times we've had sex, and goddammit, I've just needed him to...
Fuck me!
I yell at him.
I just need you to ram me so fucking hard. If you hold back, I swear I'll...
Like this? He roars back, pumping his hips furiously. His cock feels so goddamned amazing every time he bottoms out, his balls slapping my ass. The sound is so profane and fucking hot and just...
God!
A pet should let her master know when she needs taken care of.
He reaches around and palms my breast, first squeezing the whole thing in his hand, then plucking the nipple with his fingers as he continues his merciless drive in and out of my pussy.
You've been a bad girl, not communicating your needs.
He squeezes my nipple so hard I cry out at the exquisite torture of it, and then he smacks my ass.
Oh, fuck yes, I'm a bad, bad fucking girl,
I pant, grabbing onto the sink and meeting him thrust for thrust, writhing and grinding my ass against his pelvis. His hands go to my hips, and I hear him swear. He clutches me with what feels like a white-knuckled grip as he drives in even harder still. Finally, he's hitting that perfect spot so deep inside me.
Oh, God, yes, there, right there.
I've never been so vocal during sex, but God, I need it. Never needed it so much, so hard, just...
Oh!
I screech, and he rams and rams me again in the perfect spot, and stars burst. I squeeze the fuck out of his dick as the climax hits me so goddamn hard. Oh, God, it's so sweet, so hard, so good. But still, not enough. I want more. I want it all.
More,
I gasp when I can breathe again. Give it to me again.
Greedy, he says,
one hand clutching my hip even tighter while the other plucks at my peaked nipple. Then his glorious cock is slipping out of me. I whine in frustration, but he's chuckling and drawing me with him to the stable floor, where he's thrown down a saddle blanket. He lays both of us down and drags off my boots and jeans, so I'm entirely naked in the center of the stable. I couldn't care less. I can't take my eyes off his thick, pulsing cock. Then finally, finally, he pulls me down on top of him, so I'm straddling him. Again, with no preamble, he grabs himself, and within seconds, he's directing his monster cock back inside me. I groan, and my eyelids flutter at how right it feels having him there.
I know you've missed riding, so let me give you what you've been missing, precious.
He lays back, propping his hands behind his head as he looks at me, straddling him, that mischievous grin on his face.
Here's your chance, but you better grip my cock as tight as you can. It takes a lot to satisfy me. You've got to grip me hard with that luscious cunt if you want to get the job done.
My inner muscles respond to his crude words.
I'll show him. I'll give him the fucking ride of his life.
This is a new position for us, but it works well with my expanding stomach. I shift my hips experimentally, and Xavier's entire body flexes in response. I grin, wondering exactly how much self-discipline it's taking for him to keep his hands behind his head instead of grabbing me, flipping me over, and controlling the situation like I know he loves to. But hell no, I'm not giving up this power. I shift my hips again, a rolling motion, grinding down and against his pelvis. My eyes pop open because, holy God, that hits the spot. Xavier's grin settles into a smirk as he watches me. I narrow my eyes at him. Oh, I'm going to drive him just as insane as he always makes me. Just you wait. Good masters deserve rewards, too, I say, intentionally making my voice somewhat breathless. I start rolling my hips, drawing up and then down on his cock, each time grinding my clit against the base of him. I don't have to fake my breathy moans as I draw my hands down my neck. I grasp my breasts and arch my back.
Oh, God, I gasp. I can feel your cock so deep, fucking me. It's so good.
Yeah, not an act. God damn him, but he really drives me this insane. And actually letting it out, just saying out loud all the things that are always going through my head, it feels so dirty and ramps everything I'm feeling up even higher. Especially when I see Xavier's responses, the way his jaw is getting so tight and how his nostrils flare every time I pinch my nipples. I cinch them between my thumb and forefinger until they're hard little points, my high-pitched pants ramping up higher and higher as my pleasure heightens. Xavier swallows hard as his blue eyes darken.
Fuck, you make it so fucking good. Every time.
I close my eyes and throw my head back, clawing at my own breasts. Then I drop a finger down and run it through my own juices at my clitoris and my lips, where Xavier's giant cock rises to meet my every downward hip roll. I tilt my head back to stare at him right as I suck the forefinger soaked in my juices into my mouth. Apparently that's all it takes to break through his iron-willed control, because with an animal growl, he finally gives up on the whole observation-only approach. His hands move from behind his head to seize my hips. Then he takes control of everything. He holds my hips in place as he pumps into me from below, thrusts that are so intense and deep they take my breath away. His sweat-drenched abs flex with every lunge.
That's right. Take what I give you. Take it and fucking love it.
His eyes move between an intense focus on his cock dominating my pussy and locking with my gaze as he drives me closer and closer to the peak.
Oh God, oh God, oh God!
I cry as he drags me back and forth over the base of his cock with each upthrust. My hands fall to his rock-hard chest. We're both wet from sweat, and my pussy squelches on his cock. I'm so fucking wet for him. When he does an ab curl and his lips begin devouring mine, I'm done for. I cry my climax into his mouth. It's so strong and high and long, I clutch him, feeling the entire foundation of my world rocked.
I love you,
I gasp right on the tail end of the comet.
Fuck. Precious.
He whispers with a hoarse gasp and then follows me right over the cliff, pushing so deep and stilling there. We lie there, gasping in each other's arms. I'm hot and sweaty and the air is scented with sex, and a moment has never been more perfect. At least until I feel the baby start to move.
Xavier,
I gasp. I grab his hand and put it on my belly.
Do you feel it?
I ask excitedly. Feeling the baby move has been one of the freakiest and most amazing things of my life. But every time I try to share the experience with Xavier, the kiddo gets all zen and goes back to sleep. Without fail, whenever I grab Xavier's hand so he can feel, movement goes from super active to nada. When I look up into Xavier's face, I can see the same hopeful expectation, followed moments later when nothing happens by resignation.
Not today,
he says with a small, disappointed smile, moving to withdraw his hand. Which is when the kiddo starts doing freaking acrobatics.
Shit! Holy shit!
Xavier says, moving so he can press both hands to my stomach, even though it means upending me off his chest. I laugh, though, because I can see the wonder on his face as he finally feels the miracle that's been amazing me for several weeks. His eyes shoot up to meet mine, a childlike sort of astonishment written all over his face, before he goes back to intensely staring at his hands on my belly like he can see through it to his son or daughter beyond. And I don't know if the kid got woken up by all the activity of moments before, or if it was the salsa I had with my eggs this morning, but he or she is doing friggin' somersaults in there. Xavier keeps his hands on my stomach for a good 10 minutes, his face a picture of devoted concentration and awe. You're going to be an amazing father, I say when Junior finally settles back down and stops moving. Xavier looks at me. For a second, I can't make out the expression on his face. His eyebrows are drawn together, his mouth open like he's at a loss. Finally, he whispers, I don't know how to be this happy. He shakes his head.
A man like me doesn't deserve it.
I scrunch my face. What are you talking about? Of course you deserve. But Xavier is suddenly in motion. He's up, grabbing my underwear and jeans. Naturally, he doesn't hand them to me like a normal person would. He starts to dress me. I throw a hand over my face. I don't want to move. He chuckles.
Somehow I bet you'll think different when the mosquitoes start coming out. It's almost sundown, and you know they'll be out in droves.
I groan, but when he holds down a hand to help me up, I grudgingly let him pull me to my feet. I step back into my boots, even though my legs feel like total jelly. I stumble a little while pulling my shirt back on over my head. He holds me steady at the last second.
Whoa there.
He can't keep the smirk off his face.
Have a bit of a rough ride, did you?
My eyes are at half-mast. I know it's the guys who are supposed to get sleepy after sex, but I'm always taking naps these days. According to the websites, I'm supposed to get a second wind of energy somewhere here in the second trimester, but that has yet to hit. I'm still Ms. Nappy McNappy Pants. His eyes soften, and he reaches forward to push a stray piece of hair behind my ear.
Let's get you to the house for a before-dinner nap. How about that?
I use my last ounces of strength to lift up on tiptoe and kiss his lips. You really can be a sweetheart. Then I pull back. When you're not being a pain in my ass. I get a swat on my backside for that one. I laugh and jump ahead a few steps. He naturally chases me. I'm still giggling when I get out of the stables and freeze at seeing a serious-looking man in a business suit frowning at us. I back up a few steps and run into Xavier, whose arm immediately snakes around my stomach protectively. Standing as close as we are, I feel the sudden tension that makes Xavier's muscles go rigid. I look up and his face is hard, his jaw stiff.
"Father," he bites out, "what are you doing here?"
Chapter 19. There's not much time to live up to your end of the bargain. I've come to check on your progress. Xavier's silent while the man, Xavier's father, looks me up and down. Out of old habit, I can't help looking at his suit. The cut is excellent, and the fabric, top-of-the-line tailoring, tortoiseshell buttons, hand-stitching. And his shoes. He's standing out here in a horse paddock full of cow pies in a pair of goddamned Stefano Beamers, if I haven't lost my old touch. Not a household name, but those shoes can retail at $3,000 to $4,000 a pair. We're talking stupid money. But I see you've made a start of it. The corners of Xavier's father's mouth turn down. I can't imagine where you found her. Farmers Monthly? Xavier steps in front of me, blocking me from his dad's sight.
Get the hell off my property.
His father sighs, even as I strain to look over Xavier's shoulder. I can't help but want to get a peek at the man who sired my surly, mountainous lover. He looks a little familiar. Maybe I'm just seeing Xavier's features in him?
Look, I'm sorry, his dad says, holding out a hand. He's a tall man, but not nearly as broad-shouldered as his son. Maybe his mom was a female heavyweight champ, or did Olympic shot put.
We've got off on the wrong foot again, his dad continues, sighing heavily. I just want to talk. Maybe we could go inside and...
He lifts his leg and tries to shake some caked-up mud off his fancy shoe. At least, hopefully, it's mud. He looks beseechingly at Xavier. Xavier stands unmoved, with his beefy arms crossed over his chest. Awkward silence doesn't even begin to describe the quiet that falls over the three of us. Xavier might be cool with that, and even his dad bears it out bravely, but I'm a wimp, and my chatty Cathy instincts bust to the fore. We haven't been introduced. I step around Xavier before he can stop me. I'm Melanie I catch myself just in time. It's been half a year, but I doubt the world has forgotten so quickly about my father's scandal, even though out here, it feels a million miles away and about 3 centuries ago. I'm Melanie. I finish a little lamely, but smile as I hold out my hand. Xavier's dad seems glad for the reprieve, and he takes my hand and shakes it warmly.
Lovely to meet you, Melanie. I'm Pritchard.
There's a bit of silence. Then he looks between Xavier and me.
So, how long have you known my son?
Wow, Dad, that took you a whole 3 seconds after introductions,
Xavier says scathingly. I glance back to Xavier, then swallow, and, on what is probably the wrong impulse, decide to tell the truth. We met about 6 months ago when we agreed to this mutual experiment. I rub my baby bump. Then I wince at my wording. I mean, you know, this amazing adventure. I rush on in a gushing voice. Nothing more amazing than bringing a child into this world. I lean in chummily to Pritchard, except giving one a good kick in the pants when they deserve it. I point a thumb back at Xavier and then force a chuckle of camaraderie. Am I right? Oh God, someone shut me up. Am I really trying to bond with the enemy? The way Xavier was acting, it sure seemed like his dad was an enemy. But, holy information, Batman. This is my baby's grandfather, and there's so much I don't know about Xavier. Surely this is the man who can give me the motherload, or rather fatherload, of info I'm so hungry for. And what did he mean, bargain? Like the baby was some sort of bet or something between them. Pritchard chuckles along with me.
You have no idea. He's been a constant pain in my ass since he was about 18 months old and mastered the word no.
I keep a pleasant smile on my face, in spite of my roiling thoughts. Come on, join us for dinner. We've got a shepherd's pie warming in the oven. Both men look at me in surprise. I'm not sure who looks more so.
Well, that sounds delightful,
Pritchard says with a broad smile that belies the reluctance of his words. Xavier scoffs.
I don't know, Dad. Do you think your highly developed palate can handle something as commonplace as shepherd's pie?
Pritchard ignores his son and looks at me.
As I said, it sounds delightful. If you might show me where I can clean up for our meal.
I struggle not to react to his overly formal speech and mannerisms. I glance back at Xavier one more time, and he makes an over-exaggerated gesture for me to lead on. I start back toward the house, and am surprised when not only Pritchard but Xavier himself follow me. Once the house is in view, I gesture on ahead. You can let yourself in through the kitchen. The bathroom is down the hall and to the left. You can clean up there. Pritchard pauses, his gaze briefly locking with his son's before he heads up toward the house. I immediately swing around to Xavier.
Holy shit!
I smack him on the chest. You never told me your father was Mr. Moneybags. I mean, I guessed you were rich because of the whole get my dad out of the country thing. I pace in front of him. But you don't wear it like that. I pause and look at him again. So what is it? Are you guys old money? Did you strike it rich back in the day like the Rockefellers? Or do you run guns? I start nodding. I thought mafia from the beginning. Xavier just stares at me, totally deadpan. Worse than all of those. My mouth drops open, and I stop pacing right in front of him.
What? What is it?
My family